2 last night, our guy Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com, who does right now because he loves writing. All right, not about Bryce. You and I have talked about Bryce for a ton. Thoughts on what the Houston Texans did, C.J. Stroud at number 2, and then trading from 12 to 3 to get Will Anderson. Clearly they wanted both, and they didn't feel like if they could have traded, drafted Anderson first, nobody was going to trade with him to get C.J.
I hadn't heard that from them. And by the way, I'm going to try my best today to be a little more – yesterday, apparently, I was on D.C. radio, and they said I sounded like I was, quote, shot out of a cannon. Too hyped up about the draft.
So it's fine. It's very exciting.
Yeah, exactly. So what I've heard that I think is really interesting, Adam, is that they didn't – and this is all speculation.
Sure.
You never know with a team like this. And and I also have a theory that Nick Caserio may have floated the rumor that he was going to leave the Texans after the draft himself in order to try to leverage – his owner or his boss, the owner of the Texans, Cal McNair, who's really just, has an incredible resume in professional football. essentially, the buzz, the chatter you hear is that D'Amico Ryans, their new head coach, and Nick Caserio, the GM, were in lockstep and ready to go with Will Anderson, the linebacker of Alabama. Right. Cal McNair stepped in the process late and was like, no, we're taking C.J. Stroud. And those guys didn't love C.J. Stroud, but when the owner says, we're taking this quarterback, and we Panthers fans can sympathize, I guess, or empathize, you're taking that quarterback. We talked about this at length. And so essentially they kind of reached a compromise where Cal McNair got to do what he wanted and take C.J. Stroud because he's the owner. And then they traded back up to 3 where there was a very desperate Cardinals team to get out of the third pick. They give him a future first, which could end up being a really good pick, and they got their guy Will Anderson. And so you come away from this draft saying, look, you got 2 top 5 picks. It's hard to knock, it's hard to pick apart the draft. At the same time, it really depends on how the Texans perform in 2023, because that 2024 pick could very well be a top 10 pick if they're not very good, or C.J. Stroud bust out, and then you're left wondering, wow, did we make a mistake, not just taking Will Anderson, seeing how the season goes, and then picking up Drake May or Caleb Williams. It's hard to judge that, but that's how it's going to be judged.
Yeah, I totally agree. and certainly if you drafted Will Anderson at 2 and then told Cal McNair that you can go back to your toy set, we'll trade up to number 3, there would probably have been a lot of competition to trade up for 3, and that would have driven the price of the trade up, because Stroud was clearly the QB2 on a lot of boards. Obviously, it could have been Richardson.
I would say, too, that I think also what happened was the Titans allowed it to really get out there that they were interested in getting the 3 for C.J. Stroud, and then you had the Colts at 4, right?
Yeah.
So you have the Texans. Basically, Cal McNair probably got played through the media by division rivals. Speaking of Cal McNair, you joke about the playset. I don't know if you're talking about this. There's a story Sage Rosenfeld tells how David Carr told him way back in the day. He's like, I just met Cal. Have you met him? He's like, no. He's like, he's in his office. He's got a beanbag chair and an Xbox.
Yeah.
And that's his office. It's unbelievable.
Yes. I was sort of referencing that.
For those that didn't know, I thought I'd call it that.
Yeah. I mean, he really has no football acumen at all. He was born with a silver controller in his mouth. That's just unfortunately what it is. All right, Lamar Jackson deal got done. And don't you know, the Jalen Hurts contract was the barometer. So he got a little bit more in all areas than Jalen Hurts got, which makes a ton of sense. Is everybody happy now?
Well, and I'm looking up the Jalen Hurts contract, by the way, because as of Tuesday, and I would guess it's filed now, they had not filed it with – it's still not – let me see if it's – it had been filed with the – in the NFL's contract system, which is really rare for it to take that long. But, yeah, it's filed now. And so you look at it, and basically when it takes that long, it usually means there's not as much guaranteed money as they propped it up to be.
Right.
I think Lamar's might end up being the same way. What's shocking to me is that – like, what was the point of the stand he was taking? You know, like, if you want to try to get the Deshaun money, fully guaranteed deals, if you really want to make the stand, and look, don't get me wrong, I'm taking the $180 million, or even if it's $130 million, I'm taking that. Because I want that. Your kids are set.
Yeah.
Right? Or however, you know, how many ever generations.
It is generational wealth for the Lamar Jackson family.
Yeah. And, like, the franchise tag is borderline generational wealth, too. But
yes.
This deal is generational wealth. And I think, too, like, Lamar may just be tired of it. It's like you get asked every day. It's a constant discussion. You don't have that agent. It's a grind. And, you know, the Ravens did say, all right, we got Odell Beckham, which I thought, you know, a little overblown, but still, they went and got him, that guy. And then they drafted a wide receiver in Zay Flowers, who I love.
Yep.
First ever Boston College wide receiver taken in the first round in that school's proud history of professional football dating back a long time, even past Tommy O'Brien. And I think they probably made a promise that they would take a receiver if he, you know, like, all right, signed the deal, we'll take a receiver. And I think you look at that offense, Todd Monken coming in from Georgia, man, if they can run the ball effectively, they have some real interesting weapons. And I think Zay Flowers, they will probably use in a creative fashion, both horizontally and vertically, to try and stretch defenses.
Well, I think the Ravens did well, and I think Lamar Jackson is happy. And if Lamar Jackson is happy, then the Baltimore Ravens should be happy. And they knew it was going to cost them a lot of money, so I'm not even bent out of shape. So one final thing, because here's when the Jets traded back, when they swapped ones with Green Bay, and Green Bay goes to 13 and the Jets go to 15, the only way that wasn't going to be okay is if they ran out of tackles that were worth taking in the first round. And don't you know that's what happened to the Jets? So did the Jets, I don't care how good the kid is that they drafted the edge rusher from Iowa State. Even if he's great, it almost doesn't matter. Did the Jets kind of blow that because they didn't draft a tackle in the first round and their offensive line is still a question mark?
Yeah, and if you look at it, you know, we talk about Daniel Jeremiah, who is tight with Joe Douglas. You know, they're just dating back, you know, years when they were working with the Eagles and the Ravens together. And typically speaking, has been very accurate with his Jets mock draft. I believe he didn't have Broderick Jones going. He mentioned him several times. And then you see the Jets, who, you know, traded with the Packers and fell below the Patriots, who were at 14. Patriots and the Steelers trade, and the Steelers come up and get Broderick Jones, who was almost certainly a target for the Jets at that point. Now, having given up all the compensation they did for Aaron Rodgers, they probably wanted to be a little careful about trying to move up. And you know there's no way in hell the Packers are trading with him after they did that swap. And there is definitely no way in hell the Patriots are trading with the Jets. You don't even call Belichick and be like, hey, can we come up? He's like, dude, no, you're the Jets. Go away. In fact, Belichick was probably willing to take less to have the Steelers come up and grab the Jets guy. I think it goes back to that, you know, that deal they did for Rodgers. And you say, I mean, we said at the time, it's like, you know, you couldn't have just stood firm on the 13 for the 15 swap. Like, that really caved on that. I would have been, and it did bite them. So, you know, they got the edge rusher. That's important. Carl Lawson probably not going to be there next year. But, you know, Rodgers needs protection up front, and you have to be concerned about getting sniped like that as part of the Aaron Rodgers trade.
It's possible that Carl Lawson won't be there this year.
Sure.
And the Jets will try to get out of that get out of that contract. But all I'm saying is that the Jets had to get an offensive lineman out of this draft. I realize they've got, you know, picks coming up, but there's a giant gap between the first few picks, first few offensive tackles, and the next group of offensive tackles, theoretically. Although, what do I know? Since I am not a draft evaluator, maybe the Jets know better than I do.
I don't know that the Jets' history indicates that they do know better. So.
That is true. History is spotty at best. Will Brinson, by the way, did the Eagles win the draft?
Oh, yeah. Howie Roseman is. Shout out to my boy. They don't live here, but shout out to my boys, Hart and Buzz. Who Hart's a Dogs fan, a Buzz is an Eagles fan, a Birds fan. And, like, Howie Roseman, I kind of like this strategy. Why don't we just draft Georgia defenders? they have an NFL. They have a historically great NCAA defense. It was really an NFL defense compared to everybody else they were playing against. So why not just make them an NFL defense?
I mean, Jalen Carter at 9, and then Nolan Smith at 30. That's a pretty good draft.
They got two. They got two last year too, and Jordan Davis and I'm brain dead. I got 2 hours.
Me too. They just drafted. They are the Dogs, by the way. Good for them.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Brinson, I appreciate your time. There is a second and third round today. I'm not sure you're aware.
I am. We will be doing a live Pick Six podcast afterwards, breaking down our biggest takeaways. And of course, people who listen to your show know that Ryan Wilson is a great draft analyst. He'll be doing the With the First Pick podcast in CBS Sports HQ as well. All those channels, check it out. Hey, and Hurricanes. Your boy Gold here. He's an OG when it comes to covering that team. Get a win and get him some sleep. Get him some rest already.
Yeah, I need Sunday off. I appreciate your support, Will. I'll talk to you later.
You got it, buddy. See you, man.
I second that.
I appreciate Will's support. We have already talked about that today.